So, Lisha, you know, when we first started to see data on maintenance treatment in these patients, I remember a presentation from Dr. Balani when this all started a few years ago. You know, one of the questions that was out there is, what about just watching people really carefully and giving them, you know, sort of earlier second-line therapy? Where are we today with that as opposed to just go, it seems like people, at least the investigators, just moving more towards maintenance?
I think it's gone through a swing, and where the pendulum will land is still, you know, up for debate. But I think my observation is that people were skeptical of maintenance when it first came out, and as more and more studies poured in, people became very enthusiastic about maintenance, and now maybe it's settling out more towards the middle. I think it's appropriate. I mean, I think your decision has to be individualized for every patient, and there are certainly some patients who need a break after they're done with the platinum part of their chemotherapy. But for me, the take-home message from all the maintenance studies is that if patients can tolerate more chemotherapy, that it may be a helpful strategy for them.
So I'm going to ask Tom to come to the podium and we'll move on to the next topic. But before we do, I'm just kind of curious, Corey, from your own clinical perspective, you know, thinking about sort of the major, you know, pathways of the point break trial with, you know, sort of paclitaxel on one end with carbo and bev and pemetrexed on the other end. From your own observation, taking care of patients, what do you predict will be the difference in terms of complications, side effects, quality of life?
I think we know that there'll be a major difference in toxicity. That's clear a priori. We're going to see a lot less neurotoxicity, obviously less hair loss in the pemetrexed arm. I don't think any of us can make any prediction about the outcome of the trial. It'll be unveiled in 3 months at the ISLAC ASTRO meeting here in Chicago, but it will have a major therapeutic effect on what types of regimens we use and what kind of maintenance we use. I think if the trial does fail to show an obvious survival advantage for combination maintenance, we'll have a tough time justifying combination outside of a clinical trial.
Mark, any speculations about how, depending upon the point break, how it evolves out, how it might affect the ongoing ECOG trial looking at maintenance in these patients?
Well, you know, if there's a strong benefit on the carbo-pem-bev arm, which includes the cytotoxic plus bev maintenance, I mean, that may influence some people that are involved in the ECOG trial as to whether or not they would put a patient on that trial. So I think, certainly, I hope the ECOG trial is accruing well at this point, and I think point break could influence that. And the other thing is that if carbo-pem-bev is better, then investigators will be less enthusiastic about carbo-paclitaxel-bev as the first-line regimen.
So, Tom, we want to go back and talk about mutations, EGFR mutations, EML4-ALK. Now we're going to talk about ROS1. I think at this meeting there's some type of RET mutation being reported also.
Tomorrow morning, 8:45.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting.